Did it look good to see children going back to children's church? Next Sunday is going to be a special day. We're going to have Matt Haddon and Amanda, his wife, family here. He's going to be preaching next Sunday and sharing with us about the ministry that is going on at Chuckawasta and Creators Fellowship Church on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation around Sharp's Corner. And we have supported them financially as a church in the past, and he's been here to share about what's goes on down there. And we've had a group that have gone down there and actually toured their facility, but they do a lot of things for the Native American children there during the summer with camps. And also they have a wellness clinic there doing dental and eye medical type things. And a lot of other things that are going on there in Sharp's Corner that they have a ministry in. And he's going to be here to preach and share because our Easter Missions Love Offering is going to be designated for their ministry on the reservation there at Sharp's Corner. And our goal is $3,500. And this is just going to be a way we're going to launch that. And you're going to hear more about his ministry. Plus, he is a very good preacher, and you'll be blessed by what he brings to us in God's Word. And so I want to encourage you to come, invite your friends to come, and not only hear about what's going on in their ministry, but hear him preach next Sunday. I hope that you've been able to read through the Bible, and I hope you're making progress. Now, I know that some of you have already shared with me that you're behind. Don't worry about being behind. Just try, okay? And God's going to continue to open up opportunities for you as you read, and God's going to speak to you as you read His Word, and you'll be surprised how much God's going to help you to grow in His grace as you read His Word. And and it's not just about reading amounts of time, but it's reading the Bible better and allow the Bible to speak to you. I just finished through Ruth in the Old Testament. I may be a little behind. I'm not keeping up with days. I'm just reading when I can. And read Ruth last night, and that was a good book, and it's a blessing to read about how God provides, even for the widows and the orphans and those who are in need. How God provides. Well, we have been preaching through the book of Acts for about 3 years. I know that you haven't been keeping time, but I have. And here in the next few weeks, we're going to be wrapping up our series of sermons through the book of Acts. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor, we have we're at chapter 21, and there's 28 chapters in Acts. How long will those sermons be if you're only going to do it in two Sundays? Well, we're going to be covering a lot of territory in these two Sundays in the future as we wrap up Acts 21 through 28. Because when you get into Acts, you know, as you recall, first 13 chapters are just packed with narratives that are rich in showing us several things. In those first 13 chapters, we see the formation of the New Testament church, and we begin to see the kind of church that we need to focus on being as well here in the 21st century. We want to be a New Testament church. We want to have those New Testament values and do what the New Testament church did that we see in Acts. Also, in those first 13 chapters, it was helping us to understand the gospel and how it should be preached and shared. And we see that through those first 13 chapters and beyond. We also see in those first 13 chapters, we saw the role of prayer and the role of prayer that it played in the early church and how the church prayed about everything in every situation. And then also, we see in those first 13 chapters, we saw the beginning of a worldwide missions movement in spreading the gospel to everywhere in the known world at that time, and we see men like Paul sharing the gospel all over the world that they knew. And then we also see how God worked with the church in times of suffering and persecution. And we see how suffering and persecution helped the church to grow and how it helped them to mature and to grow in Christ. And so when we made the transition from Acts 13 to the rest of Acts, things sped up. And the more the gospel was spread, the more things got faster as we read through the book of Acts. So Acts 21 through 28 is full of narratives, and it reads like a travel itinerary as Paul is going from place to place to place, sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel and making plans about his future missionary journeys. What I want us to do today is I want us to look, first of all, at chapter 21, 22, and 23, and just look at a summary of everything that's happened in those verses and come down to the scripture I read during the scripture time about that night when Jesus came to Paul with these encouraging words, telling him to have courage, that you're going to make it to Rome. There was a reason Paul needed to hear that. And then the next time we get together to look at Acts, we'll be looking at the rest of Acts through Acts 28, when he finally sets foot in Rome and how God brought everything about for him to be able to do that. I think we're going to be able to learn a lot about how God leads. And I hope that we'll learn a lot about how God leads in our own life by seeing how God led in Paul's life. Not everything was perfect for Paul, and not everything worked out the way Paul thought it would. And sometimes I just imagine that Paul sat down and just wondered, how is God going to bring all this together? You ever get in situations like that? You ever get into situations maybe with your family or with your job or with your life, and you just wonder, God, you told me, you promised me that you would do this in my life, but it just seems like that's further away than it's ever been. And yet God seems to work it all out in ways that we never even dreamed that he would. And so God doesn't always use our itineraries. He doesn't always use our timetable. He doesn't always use our advice about how he should do things. But what we see in these last eight chapters is how God can be counted on. His word can be counted on. And we see that in Paul's journey from Jerusalem to Rome. Things must have appeared bleak to Paul as he was sitting in that barracks. He had already been before the mob and had shared the gospel the best he could with them, and things had sort of settled down. He had been accused of defiling the temple. He had been accused of preaching against the traditions and customs of the Jewish people, and they were wanting to do away with him. And as they were pulling him out of the temple and beating him, the Roman soldiers came and rescued him and basically arrested him and took him into custody and pulled him out from that beating and from the mob. But before they could pull him all the way into safety, he asked the centurion, "Can I just speak to the crowd?" And they let him. And he stood up to them and began to speak to them in Aramaic. And it calmed the crowd. And he began to tell them about what he was there for and how God had worked in his life. And he was sharing with them, and the crowd was quiet and the crowd was listening until he said that God had sent him to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Well, that just created even more havoc, because you see, the Jews hated the Gentiles. They could put up with someone preaching something about Jesus to the Jews, but not to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were dogs. And so they lost their temper, and they began to throw dust up in the air and began to yell and scream and demanding the life of Paul and all of that. And the centurion was concerned about his safety, so he pulls him into the barracks. And the centurion is ready to scourge Paul, to beat him, when Paul drops a bomb. He looks the centurion and says to them, is it lawful to beat, to scourge a Roman citizen that has not been charged with any wrongdoing? That was a bomb for the centurion. It was a bomb for the Roman soldiers because you never beat a Roman citizen. In fact, you never put a Roman citizen into chains, and they had done that. And he immediately runs to his superiors and reports of what Paul has said. And so they try to figure out what are they going to do and how are they going to handle this. And so they decide, since this is a religious matter, that they'll send Paul to the Sanhedrin and try to get some clarity about why this is a big problem and why the Jews have a problem with him. And so they take him to the Sanhedrin the next day, and Paul shares with the Sanhedrin, the religious elders and the leaders of the Jewish synagogues, what God was doing in his life. In fact, he starts by saying, looking at the Sadducees and looking at the Pharisees there in the Sanhedrin, and he stands up before them and proudly says that he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was. He was a Pharisee. And on the road to Damascus, as you recall, as a Pharisee, going after all the believers that were in Damascus and going to persecute them, he was confronted by Jesus and he became a believer and he received Jesus. But he was trained as a Pharisee. He knew the Pharisee mind and he knew the mind of the Sadducees. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Pharisees did. He stood up in front of them and he said, look, I'm standing before you today because I dare to preach the resurrection of the dead. And he did. He preached the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of those who believe on him. And so before anything can happen to Paul, the Sadducees and Pharisees begin to debate and dispute. They even debated and disputed to the point, and things became so violent that the centurion who was in charge of protecting Paul decided it would be best to pull him out of that religious meeting. Have you ever been in religious meetings like that? Felt that it would be best to pull him out of that religious meeting and take him back to the barracks for his own safety. And it was there that I think Paul was probably thinking, this is no way to make it to Rome. You see, he was convinced that that's where he needed to go. He was even more convinced before that he needed to go to Jerusalem first, and that's what he had done. Even though everyone who saw him on the way to Jerusalem had told him, Paul, don't go. All you're going to face is persecution, maybe even arrest. And they were telling him what might happen to him, and yet he was convinced that he needed to go to Jerusalem. He was convinced that that's what God wanted him to do. And now he's sitting in a barracks, and it seems like Rome is getting further and further and further away. And he's wondering, I believe in his own mind and heart, how is God going to work all this out? I think there might have been some frustration in his life about all this. I think in his own mind he thought, well, I'll just go to Jerusalem and report what God has done and take the offering that I've collected among all the churches that we planted in Asia Minor and that area for the poor Christians of Jerusalem, and I'll give that offering over to them and report about all the great things that God has done, and then they would gladly send me on to Rome. But that's not what was happening. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you thought you had a perfect plan of how things were going to operate and how things were going to come about in your own life? And it just seemed like every time you turned around, there was a wrench thrown into it, or it just seemed like it wasn't going to happen. And it just seemed like the closer you were trying to get to what God was leading you to do, it seemed like the further away it was. Well, that's where Paul was in the barracks that night. But I have some good news for us. When we're in those kind of situations, God has a way of helping us to understand not only that we are there, but to help us understand why we are there and to help us understand that he's still in charge. And that's basically what Jesus was trying to help Paul to understand in the scripture we read when Jesus stood beside Paul and said these words, have courage. For as you testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary that you testify to me in Rome. What was Jesus saying to Paul? First of all, just the fact that Jesus was willing to stand beside him and to speak to him like this. But he was saying, Paul, don't lose courage. You're still on track. The road may not seem very clear to you right now, but I want you to know, Paul, I have this. I sent you to Jerusalem to testify, and I'm going to send you to Rome to testify. I'm going to make this happen. That's exactly what Jesus was trying to get across to Paul. Even though Paul was looking at everything and it seemed to be confusing and there seemed to be some fear there and some frustration, yet he understood by the words of Jesus that he was still on track and God was still going to work these things out. There are times in our journey when we need to hear from God in this kind of situation. When we need his word to speak into our situation and our circumstances, where we need him to come and confirm the call that he placed on our life once before, and we need him to come and affirm his promise and his presence and his encouragement. God was saying to Paul, I know how it looks. I know you are wondering where all this is heading. I know you are thinking Rome is getting further away. However, I have this. It is still necessary for you to go to Rome. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation where you just wondered how God is going to work all this out, but there's some things that God wanted Paul to know. I think he was trying to communicate to Paul in these words there in the barracks as he's trying to figure things out. God is coming to Paul. Jesus is coming to Paul and say, look, here's what I'm trying to tell you. First of all, what Jesus is trying to tell Paul here is that I am present. I'm present in this situation. Just because things aren't working out, just because things don't seem to look like they should or you don't feel like you should, here's what you need to do. You need to look at me and not look at the situation because I'm present here. You see, that's why it's so important for us to understand that in every situation of life, no matter what it might be, that Jesus Christ, because we know him and place our faith in him, Jesus Christ has promised to never forsake us or leave us. And he's promised to always be with us. Why is that? It's because he knows that in those situations, we need someone to depend on. He knows that feelings will always mess us up. He knows that the way things look will not always be the reality, the way things really are. And he says to us in those kinds of situations and circumstances, don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at the situation, but look at me because I'm there with you. That's what we need to remember in every situation. When we don't totally understand it, we need to remember that the first thing we need to look at is not the situation, but Jesus, because he is with you. Jesus came and stood beside him. There are times when we need our Savior to stand beside us, and he's promised to always stand beside us. So we see God is present. But also there's something else that comes across in these words that I think Paul could have taken and reminded himself of, that Jesus was not only there, but he was in control. Despite the threats and the chaos and the persecution, in spite of how out of control everything seemed, yet God in reality, Jesus Christ in reality, was in control. See, that's one of the things we need to understand about how Jesus works in our life. Jesus doesn't come into our situations and circumstances with this big sign saying, I'm in control. And he doesn't always come and control things, especially the way we want him to control them. And sometimes his control looks like chaos. And sometimes him being in control looks like he's out of control. But we can place our faith and trust in the fact that Jesus will always, in the end, be in control of what's going on in our lives and in our situations and circumstances. He's in control, despite what it looks like. That's really where faith comes in. We just have to have the faith that no matter how it looks to our physical eyes and no matter how it feels to those feelings that can be so up and down and all around, that by faith we believe and choose to believe that God is in control and whatever happens in my life doesn't diminish that. Then also we see that God, Jesus, was speaking into Paul's circumstance and situation there that night, standing beside him and telling him to have courage and assuring him that he was going to be going to Rome to testify. He was ensuring to Paul that the situations and circumstances around him cannot thwart God's purpose and will for his life. Paul knew that it was God's purpose that he share the gospel. That he share the gospel everywhere God sends him, everywhere God directs him. He also believed that it was God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. That's why he went in spite of all the warnings, in spite of all the friends who said, "Don't go, Paul, don't go." And yet he believed that God wanted him to be there, and the warnings and all the things that were being said to him on his way to Jerusalem were really ways that God was preparing him for what he was going to go through in Jerusalem, what he had just experienced in the temple and in the streets where he was being beaten. And God was preparing him for what was going to happen, but he still intended for Paul to go to Jerusalem. And in the midst of that will to go to Jerusalem, he knew that God was leading him to ultimately go to Rome. He just didn't know that Rome was going to pay for it. And that's what they ultimately do, because they arrest him and send him to Rome on a prison ship. But he was convinced. He could be convinced, and God was affirming in his own life in these words that we just read, that situations and circumstances cannot thwart God's purpose and will for your life. I think many of you could bear witness to that in the different situations and circumstances that God has had in your own life. And we see that true in Paul's life. Then we also see that these words were saying to Paul that no matter how it might appear, as we follow God's will, we can trust God's hand of provision and protection. Over and over again, even though Paul was right on the verge of being beaten to death, when the crowds were so out of control, who comes along to rescue him? It's the Roman soldiers. It's somebody that really didn't have a dog in this fight. But they came and they rescued Paul, and then discovered later that Paul was a Roman citizen. We see all different ways that God provided for what Paul needed over and over again. It just proves true that adage that we hear so many times, where God guides, he provides. But we also see that God protected him. He was going to keep Paul alive because it was his will, it was his intention for Paul to testify in Rome. We're going to talk about why that was so important to Paul and Jesus to testify in Rome. Are there any places that God has just placed on your heart and given you a burden of where you want to go and testify about Jesus? You want to be able to talk to some people about Jesus. It might be a place where your friends are. It might be a neighborhood where you used to live or where you're living now. It might be a job situation where you used to be or where you are, and you especially have a burden to share the gospel there, and you just really feel like that's where God wants you to be. Well, God, here in Paul's life not only provided a way for Paul to do that and provided for Paul everything that Paul needed, but he also gave Paul protection. We can trust God. We can count on him. Though he was in the custody of the Roman guard, in reality, Paul was safe in the hands of God. Do you see that? In the situation you're in, sometimes the people who are providing your security and providing what you need, sometimes the people who are there with you, even though they have no idea who God is and no idea who Jesus is and has no relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet God is using them. And in reality, when you're receiving from them and when you're with them, and even the security they give to you is actually the hands of God in your life. So it basically comes down to this. What chapter 23, chapter 22, and chapter 21 shows us is that God's word can be counted on. God will be true to what he says. And these words that he shared with Paul there in the barracks after that chaotic few days of standing before the Sanhedrin and standing before the mob and sharing the gospel and going to the temple and trying to help soothe over some disunity within the church there at Rome and being accused of disruption and defiling the temple. When it seemed like everything he was trying to do was working against him, he understood that the whole time God was really working for him and in him. Where are you today? The circumstances in your life look uncertain. What God has said does not seem to be confirmed in how you feel and what you're experiencing. But we can count on this. Out of these words that we hear Jesus saying to Paul, we can count on the fact that he is with us. We can count on the fact that he is in control. We can count on the fact that his purpose and will cannot be thwarted. And we can count on the fact that his provision and protection is sure. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't look into your life this morning. But I pray that what I've said this morning speaks into a situation you may be facing today. And that you'll understand that the same Jesus that came and stood beside Paul in those chaotic times, the same Jesus who came and affirmed God, his will and purpose to Paul, and the same Jesus who came and said to Paul, take courage, don't lose heart, is the same Jesus that stands beside you in whatever situation and circumstance you face. Let's look to Jesus and not the situation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way your word encourages us. Thank you that you're present and you're available to us and you speak to us. Father, my prayer today is that if there is a believer here who's going through a very difficult time in their life, that they will draw from what has been said today, a word of encouragement, a word that's from you. And Father, that they would look to you and allow you to work in their life. Father, I pray if there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, that today, because there's a Savior like this, there's a Savior that's willing to save us, willing to walk through the dark waters, the deep waters of life, willing to be with us in every situation and circumstance, willing to save us from our sin, willing to take our place on a cross, willing to give us his righteousness, willing to give us eternal life. That Father, this morning, that person would look up to you and cry out, Lord, please save me. Father, that they would repent and believe and surrender to you. Father, I pray that you would do this in every life in this place. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a song.